Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast, where you can expect cutting-edge information and strategies relating to success mindset, leadership, wealth creation, and relationships, all based in universal law and David Nagel's own experience as he rose from minimum wage forklift driver to multi-million dollar business owner. So, let's go.
Hey, everybody, David Nagel here. Welcome to the Successful Mind Podcast. Today we are talking about self-sabotage, we are talking about middle-class mindset, and we are talking about mediocrity and how those things affect our life and our business. It's a really good topic because I think that if we look at it kind of from the reverse, so we hit the mediocrity part of it right away, you know, we are hearing, just a tremendous amount of people being raised with the idea of mediocrity in their life, not really stepping into their purpose and stepping into the abundance and stepping into the potential of their life, but almost coming from this ignorance standpoint, like there's either something wrong with that or that it's actually not possible for a lot of people to do this. And the truth of the matter is it's possible for everyone to do it. I believe it is part of the higher purpose of why we're here is not to be mediocre, but to, you know, really step into our greatness, learn what that is, heal whatever it is that we need to heal, and then really be of service to others in this world. So I come from the middle class, the blue collar background, and when I got into, in the beginning days when I was starting to run my own business, before I was starting to run my own business, when I was really looking at what it would take in order to own my own business, not even knowing exactly what it was very apparent to me as I was studying that there was a very different set of values that entrepreneurs embraced versus what the middle class embrace. And I want to tell you right off the bat that I don't think that there's anything wrong with being middle class or being working class. If that's what you feel that your purpose is, if that's where you feel that you belong, then God bless you. Go ahead and do it. But if you are a person who was kind of indoctrinated in your life with all of that thinking and the values and the rules and the shoulds and the shouldn'ts and all that stuff, and you want to do something different with your life, it's imperative to realize that the how of the way that you think, which is located from your subconscious mind, is really coming from a value perspective that is quite different than the entrepreneur. If you've one really interesting example. So basically, in the middle class, in the working class, it's all about survival. Everything that we start to learn from a small child all the way up into becoming an adult is based foundationally with the idea of surviving, of how do we stay safe, how are we able to hold on to a job, how are we able to hold on to a spouse or a relationship, how are we able to basically stay in the same community. I've talked to people from lots of different parts of the country, especially when it comes to the Midwest, which I'm from Chicago, where it's almost like a sin to leave the community. Like, if you want to go live somewhere else, I want to go live in California. How could you ever leave Chicago? I remember when I first left and I moved to California, I got a ton of crap from people about, you know, they were like lifers, like, well, we're never leaving. You know, I even got, as I began to move around the country, because I've lived in several different places, people have reached out to me and would be like, when are you coming back home to visit? Well, that's your home now. It's not my home. My home is wherever I am at the moment. But in their mind, like something was wrong with me because I was out there living this other life, but I really should be back home where I was raised, and I shouldn't vary from that. And, you know, so many people that I have witnessed in my lifetime that came from that place but broke out of it told me it's like there's like something about that mindset that sucks you in, and it's very difficult to break. I was having a conversation one time with Marianne Williamson after she had left Detroit when she was working for the church in Detroit, and we were both actually having this conversation about this topic, and she was like, "Isn't it crazy how you get sucked into that mindset and that value system, and it's almost like you can't get out?" For some people, they never get out. For some people, it takes them years to get out. And I think it's because one of the ideas is that we're raised with from a safety perspective is loyalty. And I think this really started probably around World War II, a little bit after, definitely after, for sure. It was a big thing. But this lie that was perpetuated between employees and companies was basically this: that if you give us loyalty, meaning if the worker gave the company loyalty, we will give you security, right? So you could stay here, you could build a career, you could climb the ladder a little bit, you would be sure that you would get a pension or a retirement, you would be set for life. So people would put in their 20, 30, 40, 50 years or whatever, and they would be able to, you know, they would be set. We'll take care of your health care, you know, you'll get bonuses, you'll get a vacation, you'll get a little time off here and there. All we require from you is your loyalty, that you're loyal to us, even to the point where if it wasn't enough money to work on, people would do what they called moonlighting, which is, you know, having another job on the side so that they could make up for what they weren't making, or they could use that money to live a little better lifestyle. And in many cases, and I actually experienced this once myself when I was a young man, when I was working more than one job and my employer found out about it, they basically came from this place of shame, trying to shame me, telling me that I should be happy with the salary that I was making and that I should be able to just stay living within my means with that, and I shouldn't be out there doing anything else. And my argument was, look, as long as I'm here tomorrow morning to go to work and I'm giving you exactly what it is that you expect from me or more, there should be no reason. What I do on my time off is my time off. But many, many companies have a no moonlighting policy and had a no moonlighting policy. And they were like deeply offended, you know, almost like if you cheated on a spouse or something, which is totally crazy because it's your life, right? So what you do on your time off is your time off. But the idea is that this component of loyalty it's indoctrinated. It starts from a very young age, right? So we have to follow the rules of the house, obviously. There's no question about that. But what ends up happening is that we're regimented into the ideas and the beliefs of what our parents think, whether that is religion, whether that is money, if there's any dysfunction that's taking place in the house. And we also learn a tremendous amount by whatever fears are either overtly or covertly expressed by our parents as we are growing up. So those, you have to remember, we are only born with two fears, the fear of falling and the fear of loud noises. So any other fear that we have is a fear that we have learned. And you don't have to learn a fear by experiencing the fear. You can learn a fear just by hearing it over and over again, being repeated by a parent or somebody who's around you frequently when you're a small child. And if you hear things like, I don't know what I'm going to do if the company goes out of business, or my company's talking about going on strike, and when these things are discussed around children all the time from the point of, I don't know what I'm going to do, I feel disempowered because the company has more power than I do, the negative message that is registering in that child's mind is that we don't have control over our own life. We don't have control over our finances. We don't have control over our destiny. And it becomes a major issue as that child grows up, because now they're starting off with an insecurity that they don't even know that they have, but it walks with them side by side into school. So think about when you were in school. Now, I know that there's a vast range of experiences that people have had with school and the different levels of school that they have gone through. But we all are pretty familiar with the negative sides of school. And it's all about conformity, because school, while it does give you some kind of an education, it's really preparing you for the regimented lifestyle of working for a company for the rest of your life. That's really what school does beyond teaching you the basics. And we know this because we know that there are so many people out there that, you know, once they basically learned the basics in school, they were like, I'm out of here and I'm going to go do my own thing, and they become very successful. I'm one of those individuals. I'm more self-taught than I was taught in school. I just did not like school when I was there, and I have a million different reasons as to why that is. But when I was allowed to get out on my own and choose what I wanted to study and follow the desires of my own heart, then I began to flourish. But I was always kind of a person who bucked the norm to begin with. Like, I wasn't necessarily constantly going to follow what everybody else thought it was that I should be doing. But that's what happens in school. And then you have, of course, all of the different cliques between the children in school and the peer pressure to conform to those cliques. So what is interesting about that is that a person doesn't get the acceptance or the appreciation from their peer group as they're going through school if they don't conform. Now, why is it that you have to think to yourself for a second, why is it that the child is so susceptible to this, especially when they start getting around their teenage years? While some other people don't seem to be affected by it at all, they just kind of walk their own path, they do their own thing, and they really don't give a shit what anybody else thinks, even at a young age. This has got to start when a child is actually very small, because one of the things that we know that a human being needs is that they need to have that constant reassurance as an infant and as a baby and as a toddler, that parent is going to be there because they're 100% reliant upon that parent for their survival. We come into this world trusting that that's exactly what's going to happen. And then when the parent does not live up to that and gives us no other teaching to go along with it, that trust is broken and we become insecure in our life, because we're never quite sure whether or not that is actually going to be there, or if mom and dad are going to take off, or if we're going to get our needs met when they need to be met, when we have not learned how to fulfill those to begin with. So now you have somebody who's going into the educational system, and from an emotional aspect, they're already feeling very insecure because they did not get a foundation of security at home first. So what do you think they want? They want to know that they're secure in the environment that they're in, but they're getting a lot of pressure from other kids to conform to things that they don't necessarily want to do. And they do it anyway because they just want to be liked. They just want to be loved. They want to be part of the group. They don't want to be ostracized. Because the dark side of this, and we're seeing this worse and worse today. I remember it was bad when I was a kid, but it's even worse now, is that if you don't conform, you are ruthlessly bullied. And they take it public because of social media. You're humiliated. You're shamed. There's people that will come out there and tell you that you should kill yourself. I was talking to the producer of the show, Brandon Tuss, about this earlier today, and he was telling me about a time when a bunch of kids in the school signed a petition for Demi Lovato, I believe, and they presented it to her at graduation that she should kill herself. Where the hell does something like that come from? Like, is it that inherently we're that mean, that we're that ugly? I don't think so. I think you have one security attacking something that they see in someone else that makes them feel insecure. And we're coming to the point in society where, like, when we see it, it's like, let's not have a conversation about it. Let's fucking kill it, right? Because it makes me feel so insecure. And then I get angry, and then I get vindictive, and then I lash out, or I'm inappropriate, or now, you know, we see things like, we're having tremendous mental illness issues and kids shooting other children and just, you know, like suicide is through the roof. I mean, it's this whole negative impact. And you might be thinking to yourself, this doesn't all come from the middle class mindset. No, it does not all come from the middle class mindset. Inherently, there's nothing wrong with the middle class mindset. What it comes from is the idea that we need to conform to something that we don't need to conform to, and not having the security that we need in order to be able to stand in our own self and say what we want or we don't want, and not having the support around it when we actually find out we're having the problem. So as the child then goes through school, what do? They go into employment for someone else where the game is actually the same. It's just as corrupt, it's just as twisted, it's just perverted, but it's played at a different level. And not only is it played at a different level, this time what's behind it is literally our own security and our own survival. Because you have people that they have no idea what they would do if they lost their job, if the business closed, if they got fired, if they didn't get a good review, if they're not getting promoted. They spend sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars to go to college only to come out on the other side barely making enough money for them to, you know, have their own apartment, have a means of transportation, be able to take care of themselves, and they have to pay back this student loan that is, you know, bigger than some mortgages that are out there. So they're walking into the prime of their life under a tremendous amount of insecurity and stress. And people will ask why we self-sabotage with things. Well, do you think that, we're constantly looking to rebalance a norm in our life when it comes to feeling insecure? So many times people want to advance to something different. But everything in their being, from a value system perspective, is based on this mediocrity idea. It is based on not having a really solid self-esteem. It is based on being really insecure about how they are going to take care of themselves in the world. And they have to give that value system up and embrace one that presents nothing but, it would appear in their mind, but pure risk in order to become an entrepreneur. And, you know, to the mediocre mindset or the middle class mindset, it appears utterly foolish, risky, and downright dangerous to do some of the things that are completely normal to the average entrepreneur. And it is a total conflict of values. I often say that almost all the values that an entrepreneur inhabits that allows them to become successful are completely contradictory to the habits of, or the values of the middle class. And it's so absolutely true. But the other thing is that when a person starts to get to the place where they want to become an entrepreneur, either A, they did not have those insecurities growing up, or B, they've learned how to start working through them and then developing the skill set that allows them to overcome challenges that would literally cripple someone who doesn't have the mindset. And the reason that it cripples or prohibits or stops a person that doesn't have the mindset is because if you only have one value system, if you're only trained to see the world through one filter, if you're trained to see how income comes into your life only through one filter, the problem that you have is that when a challenge comes up, your brain goes into an unresourceful state. In other words, we can't think through the problem. We can't think how we're going to make the money. We can't think. It becomes too frightening to change and do something else. And these are things that entrepreneurs deal with all the time. Like, they'll try something, and yeah, they have to make money from it, and they do it, and they may put even a lot of money into it, and then the thing flops and it doesn't work, and tomorrow they have to make a change instantly and do something totally different. Well, if you're coming from the place where you're scared out of your mind, you won't, number one, you'll probably take it personally when it doesn't work, which could send you into some kind of a spiral or a depression or a procrastination, which is only exacerbating the problem because you're not responding quick enough. But number two, you can't get to a place in your mind where you're resourceful to say, okay, here's what didn't work. Let's look at specifically what didn't work from a cause and effect perspective. What is it that we have? What do we need right now? And how do we change this immediately? And if we don't have the resources currently, how do we create them? You know, I remember when I was growing up, every time I wanted to do something that appeared risky in my mom's mind, she would always say, well, what if something happens? And I would say, well, then I'll do something different, or I'll fix it or whatever. And she'd be like, well, what if you can't? And I'm like, well, so what is this if? Like, what if something happened? Like, what? Tell me what the if is. And she never could, because it was an irrational fear. So she lived her whole life that way, under this irrational fear. And I quickly learned, just being out on my own as part of my own life's path, that when something didn't work, that I could be resourceful and find another way. And if that didn't work, find another way. And if that didn't work, find another way. There's always a way out there. And that's actually a universal law. And the law falls under basically, it actually falls under several different laws, but it totally follows the law of polarity. But basically what it is that you cannot have a need or a desire for something and the solution or the need or the desire, the thing that you need or desire, not be present at the same time And get this, not only not be present at the same time, but it's present in your life. In other words, it's much closer to you than you could ever possibly imagine. What's the deal then? We can't see it because we're not trained to see it. So in order to overcome this, if you want to become a really good entrepreneur, you have to start training yourself to see opportunities where other people see obstacles. You have to train yourself to see opportunities where other people see obstacles. And the best way to really do this is that every single thing in your life that shows up that is, I can't, I shouldn't, I'm afraid to, you start asking yourself the question, what if? What if I could do this? What would that look like? What if I did have the resources? Where could it come from? Because what you're doing is you're training your brain to think along a completely different line of opportunity and optimism and according to the laws of the universe about the fact that we live in an abundant world and this stuff is here all the time. If we start to train ourselves to think that way, before you know it, you'll start to see solutions everywhere. I no longer get stuck in situations that would have paralyzed me in my teenage years or my early 20s. If something goes wrong, we're able to see the solution really quick, and we're able to become resourceful really quick. But it took years of training myself to think that way, and I think the first thing that I had to do, and then I'm going to just wrap this up and leave you with, is that you have to start studying the laws of the universe. Because if you would make a conscious choice to take those laws and actually live by them, and what I mean by live by them is that you think according to those laws, you process emotionally according to those laws, and you take action according to those laws. It's not that your life will be perfect, but what it is that it's going to consistently lead you to the truth, and it is going to consistently lead you to be resourceful when your mind would otherwise shut down and make you not resourceful. What does this allow you to do? It allows you to stop self-sabotaging. It allows you to change your value system from a middle-class mindset to an entrepreneurial mindset. It allows you to become wealthy. It allows you to break mediocrity in your life and live to your spiritual highest purpose. Okay, that was a lot. I would listen to this several times, take notes, write it down, start implementing it in your life. And slowly but surely, you're definitely going to see a change, and you won't regret it, because it will. This whole idea that I went through today will completely change the quality of your life. All right, everybody, God bless. Have a fantastic day, and we'll see you on the next episode of the Successful Mind Podcast. Out. Thanks so much for listening to the Successful Mind Podcast. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to any resources mentioned in today's episode. And while you're there, leave us a review. I read every one. You can connect with me on Instagram and Facebook as well, and those links can be found in the show notes. And check out my free gift for being an avid listener at davidnagel.com/start here. See you next week.